It's a rare condition, this day and age.
Oh, no.
A podcast about the 90s with Lisa and Andy.
Hey.
We're here to present you with court cases and also some other random bullshit.
Andy's on it tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. It's been a hot minute since 90s court's been back on.
We've hit a new decade. Are you tired of hearing decade jokes yet? Because, like, I'm going to drop them all night long.
Yeah, I'm already... Here's the thing. I'm done hearing the jokes. I am still experiencing the reality of... Because I have to, on, like, recorded statements at work all the time, I have to be like, we're now recording on, like, at 5:38 a.m. on... January 1st, 2020, and I'm like, it sounds just weird every time I say it. So,
pro tip, but, don't say it. Don't live in this new year. Call it a wrap. 2019 was it.
I just wanted to say welcome, everybody. It's now officially been 30 years since some of the stuff we're going to talk about.
Oh, fuck.
This happened.
Oh, my
It's
heart.
Been exactly 30 years since some of our fun stuff that we've already talked about, even.
And
so
we've been,
hopefully.
Yeah, and we've been off a few weeks doing Y2 Court and then doing.
Our bonus. Yeah,
our
which secret.
Which is so fun.
It was it was super fun to just be able to pick through those. And then Lisa, because like I said, I've done one of those for my previous podcast. Mary and Ian aren't good at this. And so whenever I was having Lisa do it, I'm like, Lisa's a lot more capable than me, though. And so she'll probably find them a lot easier than I did. Because I remember that took me like 4 hours to do like a 30-minute episode or something like that.
I think that took about 5 or 6 hours, all things said. But you know, it was fun. It was fun as hell to do. So
it was. Anyway.
And
it was.
Also, since we were in the same state, we did meet up. What's up? We started meeting up. I didn't do that in person because I was too busy having a. You know what it was? It's ragweed. I'm deathly allergic to ragweed.
Yeah, apparently, because like Lisa was just dying. Like it was not cold enough to kill off all the ragweed, apparently, so Lisa was just on the brink of death. We did go, and I ate like a fat guy, and she was like, I'll have this like really nice
sandwich,
like,
and zucchini.
cucumber sandwich or whatever the fuck it was.
At a
Chicago style pizza place, like just deep dish pizza, and she's like, I'll have this fucking green bullshit.
Yep, that's true. But you know what, that sandwich was dope. But it was
she did
good.
I was gonna say she didn't judge me though for how much I ate, so
no,
it was great.
No, because I've had Papadills before, thanks to your old co-host. She's an amazing sweetheart,
Mary.
That mailed it to us while frozen.
So sorry for the absence, everybody. Hopefully you guys enjoyed Y2 Court. We're going to actually, for our patrons out there, which we'll discuss a little more about that later, we won't go too into depth, but they'll be getting another episode of that this week later
gonna
on.
It's going to be a good
one. It's going to be golden. So, but we're not there now. We're in the 90s. Do you want to kind of get into hopping into our things?
Let's do it. I believe you are first.
I am first, and so it's going to kind of start out weird. It feels like this is something maybe for, like, later on in the show, but here we are.
Here we are.
The die has been cast, and I, unfortunately, drew the short straw. So, in lieu of, like, bringing forward a thing, I kind of wanted to quiz Lisa on her skills with the 90s.
My skills with the 90s.
Her 90s skills. Because Lisa's definitely brought forth some things where I've been quizzed in different ways. And so I thought I would bring her one that's a little bit more customary.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, I did pretty well on this quiz. I kind of tweaked it a little bit. So it's there's a little bit bigger stakes because it was almost too easy sometimes. But
okay.
So I found 10 trivia questions I'm going to ask you.
Okay, and I won't Google, even though I have the internet everywhere.
You will not Google.
I will not Google.
No.
Okay.
And so
keep my hands
with these 10 questions, and you guys can play at home, listener, if you can answer without me reading the, because there's like 3 or 4 answers, and it's multiple choice.
Okay.
If you can answer without it, it's worth 1 point. If I read the answers and you pick from those, like multiple choice style, it's worth 0.5 point. And
I got
need,
it.
And you need 7 points to win.
Oh,
so
70%.
If you answered all of them with answered all of them with multiple choice, you would not win the game.
I fucking
so
love this so much. I'm
them.
So excited for
yes.
this. Okay. So you're saying
so,
if I can
like
answer
saying,
without you giving me any of the options, I get a point, right?
Yeah, you get a full point.
All right, let's do this.
Okay. You know what? And if it gets hard enough, I might be like, oh, I'll drop it to 6 or something like that.
Sure.
Let's see if you feel like you want. Okay. Who was the butler on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? The name of the character.
Was it Wilson? Was it?
Is that? Here's the thing.
Smith.
Here's the thing. You have to decide ahead of time if you want me to give the trivia, the multiple choice or not, before you just start saying out answers. Because otherwise, you could say like 17 answers.
For this one, I will take multiple choice. Fuck. Okay. Okay.
Is it Jeffrey, Bertram, or Carlton?
Jeffrey.
Nailed it. Ding, ding, ding,
boy,
ding, ding.
Boy, am I glad I asked for the options. It's me.
Okay. So that's half a point for Lisa.
Okay.
What are the two types of playing discs in the game of Pogs?
There's the slammer and the Pog itself.
Nailed it. All right, that's 1.5 points. Nicely done.
All right.
So... which TV show theme song had the following opening line? It's a rare condition in this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page.
That's Full House.
I will give you a chance to save.
Family Matters? Is that Family Matters?
That is Family Matters.
Okay,
I will give you a point. I will give you the point.
Thank you. Thank you for
I shouldn't,
generous.
But I did. I know you 2.5 points, Family Matters. And it's also funny because I realized, like, I think the reason I did, the opening bit I think I did was singing that song.
Oh,
at the beginning of the show that I just did. Okay, so you've got 2.5. You're doing pretty good.
Okay.
On the Saved by the Bell episode in which Jesse freaked out on drugs, what was she taking?
Caffeine pills.
Nailed it. 3.5 points. Ding, 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 ding. On which kids' show did the character Pierre Escargot appear?
That would be, that was All That.
Yep. Yeah. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. 4.5 points. You only need 2.5 points more, Lisa. Which TV show theme song? Kissing the muscles. Which TV show theme song had the following opening line? Whatever happened to predictability?
That's Full House, right?
Yep.
Okay, there
ba-da,
we go.
Ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. 6.5. Lisa is perfect so far. Technically, she should have missed one earlier, but I let
perfect
her
and a half. Perfect minus 1/2. Yeah. Yep.
Which candy was the fresh maker? Super easy.
Mentos.
Yep. 7.5. You got it. I'll let you see how you can do for the rest of it.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
Who were Tim and Jill Taylor's kids on Home Improvement? You have to name all three.
Oh, fuck. Okay. It was Zachary Taylor Thomas, but what was his character's name?
Do you want me to read?
Dude, I don't remember their names because there were three. Let's throw out some '90s names: Josh, Cody, Ash. I know that's not it. What were their names?
The names were Brad, Randy, and Mark.
Brad, Randy, and
I
Mark.
Knew Brad,
oh,
Brad and Randy. Mark, I was not as familiar with. So
what did I say? Josh?
Josh.
Ash?
Ash. Wow. Yeah, real 90s.
Wow. I'm a dumbass. Okay.
What's the first book in R.L. Stein's Goosebumps series?
That I do not know.
Okay.
But if you, I will take multiple choice and I will guess. Okay.
The Girl Who Cried Monster, Say Cheese and Die, Welcome to Dead House.
I would hope it's Welcome to Dead House.
Yes. Got it. 8.5.
That's a half point. All
right. One more question left. What's the name of Carmen Sandiego's criminal organization? I might have done 11 here, actually.
That's okay. We did a show on this. Multiple choice.
Live, LIVE. Vile, VILE. Evil, EVIL.
Evil. No?
It's vile.
Dang.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take that one. Because if you remember, that was one of the early Recess episodes for anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
And I realized how much I hated Carmen Sandiego. So that would be Echo. Man, what a great episode that was.
Yeah, I know.
Carmen Sandiego, Echo the Dolphin.
Just a quick shout out to everybody. Go back and listen to some of the Recess episodes. I know they're not official episodes, but like, we got to talk about some really obscure stuff, so you might want to take a look and just see if anything in there tickles your fancy. So so congratulations. Yeah. Lisa is a fucking baller. Like, she started out just on fire.
Well, I realized when I was trying to say the butler's name was Wilson, I was thinking of Wilson from Tool Time.
Home Improvement.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right. So.
Man, I can tell you what. You did a lot better than I would have, because I did it all multiple choice, like, and I was, and I still missed, like, two, so.
Oh, shit. So. Boom. Well, all right. Bravo for you for getting those
so
guys.
So that's my thing. I just wanted to kind of get us started with that, just to prove to you guys that that Lisa and I are not slouches on the 90s.
Well, you know what? We can bring it in this front, right? Like, we do a podcast on it. We're not just... Yes, we are just looking stuff up on the internet, but turns out we actually also knew it.
We're not just a bunch of punk losers.
Okay, awesome. Well, guess what? That was a really fun thing. Please do that again, because that shit was super fun, Andy.
Yes.
I love that stuff. And I am going to take you fast forward a little bit to 97, to where the future is female. And by that, I mean the future of the past is female. The future of the past is female. And by that, I mean I'm taking you. I need you to put your like woven vests on, your very large UFO pants, and put butterfly clips in your hair, ladies, because we're going to Lilith Fair. We're going to Lilith Fair, ladies. Dudes can come too, but they are not able to perform at Lilith Fair because we're going to Lilith Fair.
As
do you remember Lilith Fair?
Pharaoh remains unmoved as he has no idea what the fuck Lilith Fair is.
You don't know?
No fucking, not even a remotest of clues.
You don't know what Lilith Fair is?
Never heard of it.
Well, what a perfect opportunity. Wow, you never heard of it though?
Nope, never even heard of it.
Okay. Lilith Fair was a music festival that went on during the summers of 97, 98, and 99 to showcase female artists and female-led bands. What? And so it was spearheaded by Sarah McLachlan, who at the time was getting tired of hearing...
The angel.
There it is, sing it, Andy. And there's a puppy crying somewhere. I'm crying. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
So that beautiful Canadian woman, Sarah McLachlan, was like, you know what? I'm tired of concert promoters and radio guys being like, we're not going to put two female artists on back to back because no one cares about females and their music doesn't sell. And she was like, hey, fuck you, Dad. I'm making a tour for this now. And so was like, you know what I'm going to do? Dad issues, exactly. So she was like, hey, Paula Cole, guess what? It's 1996. You and I are going to start doing a tour together and we're going to show them. And so when she and Paula Cole did tours together, it did pretty well. And one of their stops somewhere, they were like, we're calling this Lilith Fair. And so after that, Sarah McLachlan, excuse me, I'm drinking my mimosa and the bubbles are doing their thing. They decided that in 97, they were like, that's it. We're doing it. We're launching this thing called Lilith Fair. And it was a whole tour that only showcased you could, the only criteria to perform were you had to be a woman or be a woman-led band. Mm. And so they named it Lilith Fair because Lilith was the, Lilith being from the Jewish lore that Lilith was the first woman and she refused to be subservient to Adam. She was like, fuck you first, Dad.
And then everybody everybody later on was like, oh, she's a succubus, and that's where the history of the succubus came from.
And obviously because Sarah McLachlan led the whole thing, so number one succubus. There she is. Sorry.
Number one
Sarah
succubus.
Sarah McLachlan, number one succubus.
Would we be able to perform there if you're like, because that's kind of one of those things, like, I always like want to put hashtag Lady Pod Squad because like you're in that and I guess our podcast by like in the same way is like, and they're freaking awesome, but it always feels weird because I'm the one posting on Twitter, so I don't always know if I should.
You probably could. I mean, even if it's a dude, just be like, just tag me, be like Lady Pod Squad at Lisa Randolph is my handle on Twitter because that's my old OG Lisa.
Yes.
But I need to take you down the row of the performers.
Yes.
Are you about to feel the most 97 that you've ever 97?
Oh, okay. Man. So, good year.
Yeah. So this is the year after Twister and Independence Day. We're reeling from the awesomeness of those movies, and we are heading our way to Lilith Tour. Lilith Fair. And the headliner, of course, Sarah McLachlan. Other artists include Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
Tracy Chapman.
Nice.
Jewel.
Uh-huh.
Fiona Apple.
Uh-huh.
Paula Cole. Suzanne Vega. I don't remember who that is. Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Nice.
Joan Osborne, whom I had to look up. I forgot that. That was the What If God Was One of Us. That was
Oh, her. Yes.
Uh-huh. The Cardigans.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Lisa Loeb. Yeah. Sean Colvin. Emmylou Harris. India Ari. I forgot all about her. She was awesome. Tracy Bonham. I don't know her. And Natalie Merchant. I could care less about. And so the kickoff date was July 5th, and they played at The Gorge in George Washington, which is Washington State. And it's so, Washington State is so beautiful. I lived in Seattle for 6 years. Wanted to go to Sasquatch, which is a music festival there. Never made it, but I can only go back 30 years ago and imagine myself, wait, 20 years ago and imagine myself at Lilith Fair. But 98 had most of the same artists, but they also included Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill. How badass is that?
Righteous.
That would have been awesome. But then they also added Sinead O'Connor. Not awesome. Sinead O'Connor's not my favorite.
It's like a halfway thumbs down, like a thumb sideways.
Halfway. Yeah, halfway, like it's having a stroke. It's on its way out. And so sadly, they tried to revive the Lilith Fair in 2010, but everyone was like, I don't care anymore.
It's like,
meh.
Yeah, they're like, I mean, like there's a lot of like female led things like that now, but I don't know. I guess maybe not.
It was 2010. Obama was president. Women were doing pretty well. We had no idea what was coming, so we're like, we don't need Lilith Fair. We're fine. But if we had Lilith Fair 2020, I bet that shit would be popping.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal. 2020 goal. 2020 New Year's resolution is to make my own
headliner. Lisa Monahan.
I will be the headliner.
Just
be
like, who are during you? A podcast. Like, who are you?
Yeah. It's just me sitting in like a foldaway chair from like Gander Mountain and drinking a mimosa and be like, who are you?
Come forth, I'm my here. Children. It's I, I'm Lisa.
The one with the microphone. And all it would take is like one woman who does CrossFit to strong arm the microphone away from me and the whole tour is trash. Because like I've got no upper body strength and be like, you win this round, everyone else. And
so anyway,
come to my Lilith Fair.
The stage you've set here is that you put on a Lilith Fair. Everyone pays tickets to go, and then someone says, I'm going to take the microphone from you and ruin the entire thing.
I'm so down. If you're not down for that, are you even down to
I'm
party?
Just saying, why would they take the microphone from you if they're like, I paid to come here, but fuck Lisa.
It's probably a metaphor for life and the government and everything else. It's like, yes. it's just King of the Mountain style.
Yes.
That's what my little affair would be. There would also be free pedicures. That's what you. It's just a place where you just go get pedicures and
yeah,
fight.
Everybody's
that actually
like,
sounds pretty amazing.
Like, did you have any performers? You're like, no, it's just like a all day outdoor free pedicures.
There was a woman,
but not free because you have to pay to come.
It's true. There was a woman with an asymmetrical bob, and she was a little drunk, and she was being pretty snarky towards people, and I wish I could get my money back, but she said she already spent it on these very nice deluxe VIP pedicure seats for us. And honestly, I ain't mad about it, because I'm away from the kids for the weekend, so it all worked out.
Holler. Awesome. But no, I'm looking through the Lilith Fair, and holy shit, just like so many performers and so big. It is ridiculous. Like,
oh, yeah.
Looking at the amount of tour dates, like, oh, 2000, like 1997,
over.
Like, was crazy. But then, like, the next year, 98, oh, my God. It was, like, from, like, basically school ends. And then, basically, there's a tour every day pretty much until August 31st. Like, school's been back in session. Like, that is crazy. But, yeah, I was a little boy, and I didn't care about those kind of things at that time, so I was unaware of this. And I That's sure as hell wasn't going to concerts, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not 97. No, we were 12 years old. We were a little young for that. I'm 12. I'm going to go to these. I'm going to go hang out with all these adult women and probably, I don't know, sync up my period with someone else or something. I don't know how this works. Shit.
Are you talking about me or you?
Me. Well, maybe
okay.
you. I
know. I was
going
to say, I was
life.
Like, I've never synced up my period before, but I'll have to work on
well,
that.
Well, 2020. It's your year, Andy.
Synchronize. Yep.
So anyway, well, that's my thing. And that's my thing.
Buckle up.
I'm ready for court, baby.
So before we go to our fun little break, it's not really fun. It's just a break. We did have a couple promos this week that our other fun pods have sent us. So the first of which is our fellow podcast that we've been friends with on Twitter for quite some time, which is the Geekploration Pod. So for those of you looking for all things geeky and nerdy, that is great. The other one, I guess, also is just a little bit more specific, which is Lit Gaming Arena. We've known them for a very long time. LGA, Lit Gaming Arena. They are super rad as well. So you will be hearing their promos here in just a moment, along with our anchor ad, and then we will come back to you with the polls and our epic court case. So we will catch you all.
Let me hear you say wayo.
Wayo.
There it is.
All right.
All right. See you on the other side.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Geeksploration, the podcast. I'm John Williams.
And I'm Ben Robinson. Do you like time travel?
Movies?
Video games?
Comics?
Sci-fi?
Cartoons?
Or how about action figures?
Well, so do we. Every episode, we pick a topic from the geekosphere and have a little chat about it.
So if you've been waiting for a groundbreaking podcast that does all of this and more, you might have what it takes to be a Geeksploronaut.
Come join us every other Tuesday for a fresh installment of Geeksploration, the podcast.
You can find us at geeksplorationpodcast.com or any reputable podcatcher. Likely a few unreputable ones.
Lit Gaming Arena. Coming soon.
Welcome back, everybody.
We're back from the break. Do. That song was just in my head, and I was singing it out loud the entire time during the break. So I just thought
it was awesome.
Come and get your love.
So good.
Back to 90s court.
Guys.
We had a poll.
Do you even remember 12 years ago when we did an episode over two of the most amazing movies?
Yeah, so we did. This is actually a Y2 Court one, mainly because we did the 90s Court poll on Y2 Court. So if you're I've been waiting forever for the result of Mario 64 versus Star Fox 64. You're like, it was in the Y2 Court episode. Go back and listen. I'm sure you're listening just to find out the poll results. Which you could also check by just checking Facebook and Twitter.
One click away, baby.
But yeah, so we are releasing the results of our Y2 Court episode, the one that was public to everyone. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind versus Garden State.
Guess who won, baby?
So here's the thing. Before the polls were posted, I almost posited to Lisa, I said, is it possible that this could be the first time it is 100% to 0%. I almost did that, and I was like, no, I'll just see what happens. And so, like, then on Facebook, at least, when Lisa posted the poll, like, I'm like, holy shit, like, Garden State was just winning for a while. Like, or it was like, it was back and forth from 50-50 to, like, 51-49, and there were so many people that voted on it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So Facebook was just this epic throwdown battle, and, like, for a while it was 51% Garden State to 49% Eternal Sunshine, and apparently two people said no, fuck that, and voted correctly. Because here's the thing, I presented Garden State, I 100% like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind more.
Oh, interesting.
But we can't both do the same thing. Plus, it was
you could arm wrestle for it.
It's your favorite of all time. I'm not going to take that. Yeah. It's in my top 10 though. So Facebook, decided 51% to 49%. So it was a super close drag out fight.
Twitter, however,
had other ideas.
Twitter said, hey, ding dong.
The past two polls, Facebook's been like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's pretty good. And Twitter's just like, no, not even close. So they found 70% Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, 230% for Garden State. So yeah, Garden State, I'm glad at least that it was unanimous, because at first it was looking like it was going to be a split decision between Facebook and Twitter, but Eternal Sunshine did come out victorious on both. So
there it is.
Sorry, Zach Braff.
Sorry, Zach Braff. Sorry, your movie is your movie. Garden State, it's fine. It's just cute.
She was about to say mean things and then was like, "Oh, that's right. I don't want to have Andy quit the show."
If you want to hear the mean things I had to say about that, just go back and listen to the show. Yeah.
Which is funny because
White to Court is available.
Yeah,
too.
After the last time when we were talking about Punch Drunk Love, about serious Adam Sandler movies, and then I went and saw Uncut Gems, like, which I didn't even know was a thing until after we did that episode.
Interesting.
So I went and saw Uncut Gems, and it was good. It was surprising.
We almost went to go see it this weekend. Jack was like, it costs like $100 to go see a movie because of babysitters. So it's like, fuck it. Just if it's not like on Netflix, we just don't see it.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad call. Mm. So,
we have Court.
So we do have, Court. Which of course you know what that means.
Do you want me to do it?
I want you to ask me.
Andy, did something just come across your desk?
No, I was going to say, damn it, you knew what I was going to say. I thought you were going to say, what does that mean? But instead, you're just like, I forgot, you're on the show, so you know what it fucking means. Something just came across my desk.
There it is. Welcome back, everyone. We know you missed 90s proper Court. So
yes.
Here it is.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff that we do that is like, you know, it's good enough to the point where it's like, oh, like, I remember this because I've seen this more recently, or like, I've watched this more recently, or it's like on everywhere or something like that, you know, or it's a toy or something like that. This is an absolutely classic 90s. This is like classical 90s, I think, like in the sense that, like, you weren't really watching it after the fact. It was kind of like it was on when it was on, and then it was gone when it was gone.
Yep, exactly right.
And they were... And you know what? I guess I'm going to go first because that's what we do. We kind of flip-flop. So
sure.
I will tell you this. I did watch 10 episodes of this show in the past 48 hours.
You watched 10 full episodes?
I watched 10 episodes. They're only like 22, 24 minutes or whatever, so it wasn't too long.
Okay.
So I did kind of get some notes on this. So I'm sorry. We should probably say the name of the court case. So the court case,
maybe,
in case you just were like, I just started listening and I didn't check the episode title. It is The Secret World of Alex Mack versus Clarissa Explains It All. So, as that is the order, I will be taking The Secret World of Alex Mack.
All right.
I will note,
go for it,
that the only previous mentioning of The Secret World of Alex Mack prior to this was Lisa putting Alex Mack in a Kiss, Marry, Kill, which was a popular thing in our early episodes, where I had to decide amongst not only her, who is a seventh grader in this show. That's right, not even high school, seventh grader, as well as Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which was just it's just in the name. It's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And
I mean, that's some To Catch a Predator shit right there.
I know.
I'm so
and
sorry.
I didn't know that you were doing a sting operation, but I unfortunately answered the question, and that's why I'm doing all these broadcasts from a jail cell. So I'm going to be talking about The Secret World of Alex Mack. So this was a television program that aired from October 8th, 1994 to January 15th, 1998. Interestingly enough, it is well known. It is like at the time it was well known that Clarissa Explains It All ended immediately before The Secret World of Alex Mack came out.
Is that right?
So this literally replaced Clarissa Explains It All on SNCC. So SNCC had its lineup and everything like that, and so this took over. I will tell you this. I watched the first episode, and when I was watching it, maybe it's because it was the first episode or whatever, but I was like, this is just some grainy-ass horse shit. Like, this is just, like, the quality of television, like, I forget how low budget shit on Nickelodeon was, like, back then.
Yeah, it was
like,
pretty bad.
Like how television back then. And that was the case with a lot of things. Like, I've heard about like Legends of the Hidden Temple, for example. Like how like everything there was just kind of like, they're like, let's just fucking wing it. Like, and I'm watching The Secret World of Alex Mack, and I'm thinking, aside from some of the special effects, which I have no grasp on how to go about doing that. Like, all of the actual, like, locations where things took place and everything, like, I'm like, I could just, like, walk around my town and be like, we're shooting a TV show, and just, like, have a camera on my shoulder and just be like, here we go, and just shoot the entire show just from it, from Monticello, Illinois. Like, you know, just, like, from my hometown.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, yeah, with an iPhone these days, absolutely, you could, because the quality of the shows they produced in the early 90s on Nickelodeon felt like it was like a cutout of sandpaper, and a small child had just taken a pencil and drew someone that looked like Alex Mack. Yeah. Like, here it is. I made your show.
Here we go. We got it.
Fuck that.
So this is starring, we're going to go over some of the cast. So this is starring Larissa Olenek, who played Thank Alex you. Mack. She's, I will tell you this. Of the people in the show, she actually was, I guess it makes sense that she was the lead character. She actually was pretty good. Like, because I've definitely, like, I think from watching back when I was going through the different Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes, like, seeing with some of the child actors in there, like, God, were they bad. Like,
they were really bad.
Larissa, for, like, being a very young kid, was, like, really good. Ray Alvarado, who's played by Darius Love. Annie Mack, who is her older sister. So it's kind of the setup of the show. So... Alex Mack is like a kid. I want to say a teen, but barely, probably like 11 or 12. I don't know how old seventh graders are. She is just a normal kid, and she's in this family that's established that Annie Mack is like a fucking genius. They never really say how old she is, but I assume she's got to be like, I don't know, like 16 or something like that. Like, she seems like she's a teenager that's maybe in high school or something like that. It's so weird because, like, they're trying to make her seem like she's older because of how smart she is. And she, like, understands a lot of the stuff her dad does. So her dad works at a chemical plant, which is kind of a very large part of the story, is that there's this huge chemical plant in the town where she's from. And they apparently run, like, everything. And so she's super average. And obviously her parents, there's a lot of pressure on her because of the fact that she is... a failure. Like, she's not a failure, but, like, she's not, like, super gifted and intelligent like the rest of their family is. And she's also not super cool. So there's not really a lot going for her, according to her own standards, you know. So the beginning of the show is just kind of showing her, like, struggles with going to school for the first time. And then as she's coming home from school, she is walking down the road, and there's this... God, what's the name of the kid? The guy who plays this guy. Dave Watt, who plays John Nielsen, who is this dim-witted truck driver. And he is a regular character on the show. He is basically like the comic relief from the show. He's this guy who works at the plant and is just a complete moron and very childish. He's super nice, but he's like kind of childish. Who like is driving and not paying attention as Alex is walking. And then he looks up and sees her, and he, like, spins the wheel a bunch, and then the truck turns over, and these big barrels of chemicals spill. He hits a fire hydrant, and, of course, so then they land in the fire hydrant and spray up this gold goo, basically, all over Alex Mack, who's covered in it, and she leaves. And you'll know that because that's in the beginning of every episode. Like, in the beginning of every episode, they show, like, kind of a summary thing. And so Alex finds out, oh, my gosh. Fortunately, like, I even made a joke, like last week on Twitter. It didn't really land, so I deleted it because I'm weird. I don't know why, but it was like the multiverse theory, like, version one of the multiverse, Alex Mack, like, lands in all the chemicals, and the result is she gets all these powers. Versions 2 through 2 million is her being dead, because, like, you don't just get covered in just a bunch of horrendous chemicals and you're like, not only are things fine, but
they're like super sweet now. Things are so rad for me now that I've been covered in toxic sludge.
I'm so
I love
glad
my life.
I got covered in that.
I'm a Kardashian now. It's the best.
And there was a slight mentioning of it in episode 2, actually, is that the chemical apparently was supposed to be this, like, stuff that, like, was supposed to be taken in, like, uber small doses, and it was supposed to be, like, this miracle drug for, like, helping people lose weight.
So she would have been, like, emaciated.
So she should be dead. And somehow that turned into, let me go over what she does. So what is the first thing you think of when you think of Alex Mack's powers?
She turns into, like, a little silver liquid schwab.
Yes, she turns into literally just, like, fucking mercury. She turns into a huge... That's not really what... they don't say that on there, but it looks like mercury.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she turns into a puddle, which is funny because, like, until I watched the show again, I forgot the other stuff she could do. So she, like, has the lightning bolt powers and stuff like that, and basically just telekinesis, like, just baller telekinesis where she can just lift objects, do whatever the fuck she wants. Pretty much, like, this is the thing is, like, there are different times where it's, like, it's not, like, super established, like, everything she can do, but, like, if it seems convenient in a situation, she can do it. Like, you know, like, they're just kind of like, ah, oh, she could probably do that, too.
She could probably do that.
So basically the entire show's premise is like a combination of things, which is one, she's trying to hide from the plant who she is pretty clear that if she got caught, they'd be like, oh, we're going to experiment on her and like basically just like enslave her and capture her and kill her. I don't know. That's at least what they think.
Super cool.
So she has to keep it a secret from everyone except for Ray, her best friend. And Annie, her sister. So both of them know, but nobody else does, including her parents. So the problem is that she is the worst. She is just, like, for someone who is so afraid of just being, like, fucking kidnapped and killed by these people who work at this chemical plant, she is super loosey-goosey with when she uses her powers and stuff. She's like, oh, this is fine. And it's over the dumbest shit. But, I mean, in fairness, it is true in character to somebody who's in seventh grade. Like, you know? Like...
Yeah. Like, oh, my pencil is dull, but I don't want to get up to sharpen it. So she, like, sends it floating to the front of the classroom.
Yeah, it is dumb shit like that where she's just like, you know, I could really use some bread. And then she just, like, brings it to her that way because she's like, I don't want to get up for it.
So she would, like, make shit float towards her. Like, I'm vaguely, like, I feel like I'm making false memories here.
Yeah,
but
she
if
would.
That's
and
what the show is like.
There's different times, too, where I know she, I remember she had, like, a glass of milk and her sister needed it upstairs. And she's like, I'll get it. And then she just, like, telekinesis that like up the staircase, and I'm like, okay, listen, I get being able to control it and stuff like that. You can't have the knowledge of exactly, like, once it passes the staircase, how to get it to your sister at that point. Like, just go up the stairs around the corner, hopefully, because you can't see through your eye, you know, you can't see through it, not have your parents just see a floating glass of milk and then bring it into the room to your sister. So anyways, I digress. Although that is largely what I'm going to be talking about is how this whole thing is fucking bullshit. Because, let's face it, I know when they made this show, they were like, this is going to be fucking scientific breakthrough shit. Like, people are never going to know. So,
yeah.
So the show kind of oscillated back and forth between, like, oh, it's an episode where Alex is trying to not get busted by the people at the plant. Because there's a couple people that are kind of like the enemies in the show. So there's... I mean, there's always bad guys in every episode, but it's kind of goes back and forth between a few different people. So there's, as I mentioned, Dave Watt, who's the guy who's the truck driver, and Vince. Vince is like this hardcore security guy. He looked really familiar. I was like, oh, this guy seems like he was in a bunch of other stuff. Like, and I clicked on him, and I'm like, nope, it wasn't him. Like, I thought he was, because he's like he plays a really good like tough bad guy.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Daniel Atron, who is the CEO of Paradise Valley Chemical Plant. So they're all kind of the main bad guys. So they're the ones where there's actually like high stakes bad guy stuff. Now, the lower stakes bad guy stuff, the people, at least, again, I only watch season one episodes, so pardon me if there's any stuff that comes up later.
Okay.
So every other episode, it'd be more about like, stuff at school, stuff with her family, like more like low stakes stuff. They would always like throw in stuff with her using her powers, but like sometimes in those episodes, like it was like inconsequential usage of powers that didn't matter because like they weren't worried about her getting caught. One of the main bad guys in the show, her name was Jessica, who was Scott, who was a love interest of Alex. Alex had this huge crush on him. He was in ninth grade. Apparently he goes to the same school as her, and she's in seventh grade. Not sure how that works because he'd be a freshman in high school, but neither here nor there. I know
she's got superpowers, so I mean, what a cool fantasy world.
Yeah, I know.
I guess.
That's the cool fantasy world of a seventh grader in a ninth grader school. That's bullshit, but superpowers, fine. So the reason I brought up Jessica, so there's Jessica and then there's another girl who's also like, they're kind of like these basketball team players who like pick on her and stuff. And Jessica was played by somebody that you might be familiar with. like, I was looking through the people who played characters in this show, and like nobody really like took off. Like I was looking through, yeah, they had some different, like I was clicking different people's faces to see on their IMDb what they did afterwards. Nobody had like a real big career. I would ask you to guess, but that would be just like, hey, pick a human being on the planet of who this person is. So Jessica Alba.
Oh, really?
Had her first ever show on television ever in this show, playing Scott's hot girlfriend.
Oh, and, wow. Like, well, I mean, she's at least always been pretty hot.
Yeah, at least the entire first season, she was like a main character in the show. And basically, and the weird thing that was, Scott was always like, yeah, I mean, Jessica's really hot and all, but like, I mean, it's fun talking to me. It's nice to be able to have a conversation like with you, Alex. So
seventh
it's kind of
grader.
Yeah, which it's a little creepy, but who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all underage. It's fine. Do what you want.
Sure.
I don't
Why
know.
Why not?
Just to go over a few episodes. Episode 2, that was the basketball match. That's where Ray and Alex play against Jessica and her friend in B-ball to determine who has to clean up the cafeteria, which, let's quickly note, they kept being like, oh, it's this cafeteria, because for some reason, like, they tripped her and then they got in a food fight. And man, they had a lot of fun in that food fight. It was really weird. Like, everybody was just like, we fucking love throwing food at each other. And so then they all were going to have to clean up, but they're like, we'll play basketball to see who goes. And they ended up winning, but it was largely because Alex cheated, like just
of course.
Cheated. And so then at the end, there was this heartwarming moment where Alex like made Ray come back and they went and helped them clean up, which is weird because you're like, oh, they've kind of established a rapport and respect for each other. Nope. Then they just immediately got rid of that for the rest of the series because they're like, nope, they hate each other again. Bring your kid to work day. This again, this was one of the ones where they go back to the pressure of her not getting caught. She literally like went to her dad's work. I'm sorry. There was like, all these different people were pretending to do these different jobs at the plant, which was just a ploy by the plant to get these kids in there to see if any of them would be dumb enough to use their powers. So like to find out who this kid was, cause they were trying to catch them. And unfortunately, Alex did, at one point, and then found out there were security cameras. And so she's trying to figure out how to do that. And there was the most buck wild of all time, like way of them breaking into the chemical plant, turning off the power. And then she walks into this room where the guys who are watching the tapes, pulls the tape out of the VCR and walks out of the room. And apparently the assumption is just, well, it was dark, so they didn't see her just standing directly in front of him as he was there. But I digress.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I love kid logic.
Yeah. Episode 4 I have called Alex Does a Science. there's this again, this is one of the ones where it's school based, like normal stuff where she has to do a science project thing. And there's this 3 light bulb set that she was like, oh, whatever, I'll just do whatever. I'll pick something from Annie, her sister, who was like a genius, and I'll just use one of her old things. And so she brings this thing, and it's literally just 3 light bulbs plugged into this block of wood, and there's a switch that turns them on, and the science teacher's like, well, what the fuck is this? And she said, it's a light bulb set. And he's like, is that all? He's like, that's not really science. And she's like, well, no, it can do more, too. And then she uses her powers to make it like do this weird thing where like these electrical things are going like from bulb to bulb, and it looks baller as hell. And he's like, wow, how'd you do that? And she's like, he's like, do you not know how you did that? And she's like, he's like, if you just stole this from your sister, like that's going to be bad. Like that'll be an automatic F. And he's like, I'll give you till tomorrow to give us a better explanation of how it worked. Which is insane because she could just go home and ask her sister how it worked. But that's neither here nor there. So instead, she goes back home and it turns out there's a scientific way that the thing that she did using her powers worked. So she somehow used her powers to do this thing, to make this insane lightning jump thing because she has secret magic powers. Oh, but also it turns out with real science, you can also recreate this. What a fun coincidence that happened to work out perfectly in Alex's favor. Meanwhile, of course, the guys from the science plant were pretending to be janitors and apparently had spotted this cool experiment and were like, oh, I bet you that's the kid, you know, but then they ended up, she avoided their gaze again, of being caught. So I do want to go. I'm sorry. I know I've been going over a lot on the episodes, but I do want to catch this one. This one bit. So okay. The school dance episode was my favorite. It was just bonkers. So, it's Alex is getting asked by this man, and I say man because she keeps getting asked to the dance because this guy, it's supposed to be a seventh grader like her, but he has a receding hairline. He is wearing sunglasses at all time, and looks like he's been horribly sunburnt.
So I just got back from a golf tour in Miami Beach.
It literally looks like, yeah, like a weird guy who is like a golfer, like who's like a snowbird. yeah, this receding hairline. So at some point she decides, like some people say, yeah, you should tell Scott how you feel. Scott's the one who's dating Jessica Alba.
Okay.
And so she writes this letter and puts it in like, and is going to take it to him. And so she goes to his house. I don't know what she was planning on doing with this letter, but she goes to his house and then she like knocks on the door and the door is just open. So she like walks in because that's what you do when somebody's house door is open. You just walk into their house.
Yes, of course. Obviously.
Yeah. And so she ends up going into his room and like just being like, wow, look at all this cool stuff. He's such a cool kid. And then all of a sudden she hears somebody downstairs. She's like, oh, fuck. So she takes his goldfish out of his goldfish tank and puts him into a water bowl that's on the ground that apparently is for a dog or something. I don't know. There's not really much explanation there. So she then apparently turns into liquid and goes into the fish tank. So then he comes into the room. And he's like just like looking for something. And then he looks down and he's like, oh, what are you doing in there, Rico? And then he takes the goldfish out of the thing and puts it in the tank. So I'm like, hold the fucking phone. So he sees his goldfish in a dog bowl and thinks, oh, this that's my goldfish just getting into the just hopping. And it was like on the other side of the room. There's no reason totally this fucking normal. Goldfish would be there.
Rough day from a goldfish.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, sorry, I found what I was looking for, and just walks out the door like this is like the most normal thing in the world. But anyway, so she really wants to go with Scott, who has a girlfriend who is Jessica Alba. But she ends up just going by herself and creepily like standing by the punch bowl for like 3 hours, watching Scott. And I think she ends up like using her magic to basically make it so that like Jessica Alba's dress rips and then like a shoe breaks and then like just so she can like get dances with Scott. And they do, and they dance for a while, and then Jessica Alba keeps trying to come back, and she sees her in the background, and so she keeps making, like, shit fall on Jessica Alba, like, over and over again. It's always one of these things where, like, every time she does something that just, like, is insanely, like, horrifying to other people, like, they're just like, well, I guess that was just me being clumsy, like, well, that's just normal, like, nobody cares, but...
Yeah.
I will say this. It was actually, like I said, I watched multiple episodes because I was like, oh, it's actually not a bad show. It's not a bad rewatch. Like, going back and watching it had some interesting plot. Although, yes, it is silly because it is a children's show. Anyways, that's the secret world of Alex Mack.
That is the secret world of Alex Mack.
Yeah. The not-so-secret world of Alex Mack.
Not-so-secret. Yeah, pretty obvious secret world. Pretty obvious world of Alex Mack. I'm going to take some of the sci-fi out of this. I'm going to crank it down to Clarissa Explains It All. The predecessor. Is that the right word? Predecessor to Secret World of Alex Mack. That would be the teen sitcom starring the one, the only Melissa Joan Hart as Clarissa Darling. And this show aired from March of 1991 to October to 94, which to me felt like a short run for a Nickelodeon show, but it sounds like Alex Mack had about the same time frame.
Yeah.
So not that bad. But yeah, for Nickelodeon, that has been like, hey, did you guys like SpongeBob? We're going to air it for 49 years. Like, that's where they're at now.
SpongeBob was an anomaly, though. I would say it's more SpongeBob customary rules. That they had the shorter runs. SpongeBob
right.
just came out of nowhere, and it was just like, oh, we're going to just fucking blast this shit in your face for a decade.
I liked
like
it.
Several decades.
Now my kids like it. What's not to like? Show fucking rules. But we're not talking about SpongeBob right now. SpongeBob is later, because I don't even know when that started. But so it was just this cute little teen show where Clarissa Darling, the sweetest little thing in the universe, will just talk directly to the audience, which is kind of a unique concept for a show, right? And so in doing so, talking primarily to the audience, she would just talk about the typical woes of being a teenager. So things like this is probably something I feel like I would have done when I was about the same age, but like talking into the fan. Did you ever do that, Andy? Did you ever sit in front of the fan and talk?
Yes.
I feel like I probably would have like talked all my teen woes. Maybe not teen because I would have probably been too old for that, but like preteen woes, like into the fan. I like this boy so much.
I like this boy so much.
So much. Here's this new track from Fuck Who Did I Listen To in the Eighth Grade? Probably Christina Aguilera. Anyway, that's where we need to do an entire episode in that voice. Holy shit, we need to do a whole episode in that voice. We'll lose all of our listeners. If you recall, her parents are Marshall and Janet, and her brother is Ferguson.
Fergie.
You remember Fergie? The OG Fergie. OG Fergie. This little redheaded dweeb, or as she liked to call him, Booger Breath, as I heard in an episode or two. Which is like the 90s had the best nicknames, like cut downs. Like, what's up, Booger Bearing? What's up, Numbskull?
What up,
like,
dickweed?
Now in like the second grade, we're calling everyone like fucking fuck faces. So I feel like
Hold on, back up. Are we doing that?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. I feel like kids are like...
Thank you for catching me up.
Yeah, just so you know, kids, my kindergartner's like, hey, you little fuck. And he does not say that, but I'm sure it's coming. And not for me. I don't say that.
Yeah, let's face it. When we were kids, no one swore.
No one swore. We just did the fake, like, breathing, you know, our breath into the air to make it look like it would, like we were smoking.
Yeah.
And that's all we did. That's literally all we did
until we
were
12.
We didn't use words. We just did smoke signals with our hot air breath. Okay, so she had a brother, Ferguson. And if you remember, probably everyone's favorite character from Clarissa Explains It All, Sam, her boyfriend. Not boyfriend. Her friend that is a boy. Yeah.
Which I would like everyone to remember.
What?
Lisa did kill him.
Yeah, for sure. Why you gotta bring up bullshit, Andy?
I already brought up one thing. It's just funny, we've done Kiss, Mary, Kills on people from each of these shows already, so.
It's true. Yeah, we did do that. So, guess what, Sam? I would have killed you then, I would have killed you now. So guess what?
Oh,
deal
fun.
With it. Fuck. So, yeah, if you remember, he would enter Clarissa's bedroom by slamming a ladder up against her window and then climbing in to the tune of some guitar chord. It was like, also, hold on. Before I forget, before I do anything else, we have to talk about the theme song, which I didn't even write in my notes. Like, na 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 na, dum bum bum, na 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 na. All right, all right. Na 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 na, bum bum bum, na 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 na.
Hey, cool.
Way cool. So, all right, we're not.
I will
do
say,
the whole thing.
I do like I do like the intro part of that with. I think I've touched on this before, but not only like the part where she's like on there, like pulling in like the C, like drawing the C, trying to draw Clarissa, and people keep coming on the scene, and she's like, fuck, and has to just do it again over and over again. And then she does punch, punch, kick, kick, snap on Ferguson, and he disappears. That's like my favorite thing.
GTFO, Fergie.
Yeah.
Get out. So, yeah, the theme song, you remember, even if you don't remember the show, you remember the theme song, and that might be enough to get your vote for the show. Let's be honest. So she had Ferguson, and then she had Sam, and she also, for a very brief time during the show, had a tiny baby alligator named Elvis.
Yes!
Elvis!
Hell yeah.
Elvis, little dude. Nick was worried about a show that had a female lead. See, there's a theme this week. There's female leads, right? What's up? Feminists. I don't know. I'm too
Fight
tired to be feminist today. Nick was worried about...
I'm so excited to be feminist today. That's the best sentence ever uttered on this show.
I blame the mimosa. Ladies, I'm sorry. I'll catch you up on the next episode. I'll catch you on the flip next episode.
I'll have enough energy next time to fight the battles.
Okay, so they were worried that having a female lead would not appeal to boys, but guess what, Nickelodeon? It did just fine. And it's one of the reasons
why
they
crushes.
Threw... Yeah, right? I feel like I would have had a crush on Melissa Joan. I probably felt like I wanted to be like her, but I was nowhere near as cool as she was at that point. But I'm cooler now. It just took a long time.
It's the weird thing where, like, with when this show was on, I was too young for Melissa Joan Hart. So she was like, I'm like, wow, she's like a grown-up, like teen. Mm-hmm. And then by the time, like, Alex Mack came out, like, I was, like, older than her. So it's kind of like, or not older, but maybe the same age.
Yeah. Yep, I see what you're saying. I get it. So if you recall, she would talk to the audience, like I said, and in doing so, she would often present whatever qualm she was dealing with that day to the side of her, like a news reporter. It would just be this cool little graphic, which is pretty fast, like forward thinking for the 90s. Like that's pretty rad. Mm-hmm. And so she would do this. And also the show had the worst laugh tracks. Like, I'm sorry.
Clarissa, oh, really?
Explains it all. Oh, yeah, because she would just be talking and it wouldn't be funny at all. And then you just hear like a really quiet kind of
I'm so frustrated.
It's just like, I'm going to kill Ferguson. Like, well,
that
a clap.
Is, that
like,
is hilarious.
No. And one thing I forgot, Andy, I completely forgot about this aspect of the show until I started doing some rewatching. She was a video game developer. And so, like, for every issue she was processing in life, she would basically create a video game equivalent for it.
Hold on.
So, like,
hold on.
Yeah.
Back up. Rewind.
Yes.
This. Rewind. How old is Clarissa?
She, if I read correctly, she was about 14.
Okay.
At the first season.
And so they're proposing that she is doing what your husband does.
What my husband does for a living, yes. So
but
I
was
just like,
she
was
doing it at
14. Oh, it's close to full circle. Yeah. She was doing it at 14 in 1991.
Bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit. But it was fun because if you remember the video, which was like in such 90s style, the video games were like, you know, 90s graphics, but the face would be like a cutout black and white picture of someone's face, you know, that kind of thing. Like, what was that horrible show? Oh, fuck. I'm not going to think of it.
Nope.
It's not Pepper Ann. F. It was one that was like it. Oh, well, it'll be another episode. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it another time. Someone's already thinking of it and screaming it at me. I hope you're screaming it at the radio right now. But I'll think of it next time. But so she did that. And did she tell what? I know.
Nothing. I'm just thinking about people like listening to this on a radio.
And scream. Well, I mean, I listen to podcasts in the car. Some people.
Yeah,
mean,
I guess,
man.
I'm thinking about it in the car. Yeah, I forgot about that being a radio technically.
Or maybe your super cool Bluetooth speaker. Maybe we're on your super cool Bluetooth speaker today.
That just looks like an old school radio boombox.
It looks like it's shaped like a smaller car.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We are
derailed
hard. She would cover some pretty interesting topics. So, first crushes, the episodes that I did not get to watch 10 episodes, but I did get to watch one about where she was like concerned about expressing herself and creating an identity through her clothing and appearance, and then having her first crush and driving and like wearing bras and things like this. So it was kind of
wearing
like a little bit older. But yeah, well, I mean, like, well, you know, as a girl, you're like, if you're 10 or 11, this is shit you gotta start thinking about, right?
Fuck
so,
yeah. Where them boobs go, though? Where them boobs
where
go?
Where did boobs go at?
Where
what am I supposed to do?
Go?
Where did boobs go?
Just mom's like, I don't know. You're gonna have to watch Clarissa and figure it out.
Clarissa will explain it all. I don't have to parent at all because it's the 90s. So I actually, one of my favorite episodes I watched today was one, it was about the crush episode, and it was actually exceptionally endearing to me because she had a first crush, and it was on the local meteorologist.
What?
Yeah. Which made me laugh really hard because, like, oh, this is sweet. And then she was, like, starting meteorology. If you aren't familiar with me personally, or you don't follow my Twitter, or you aren't friends with me in real life, I am obsessed with like storms. I'm an amateur meteorologist in training, and so when I saw this, I was like, yeah, all my favorite things. All my favorite things at once.
Your spirit animal.
She is, well, at least in this episode. But if I may, she was having a crush on this meteorologist, and she was talking about like what it would be like when they actually met. And she was like, oh, it's gonna be a flood. It's going to be like when we actually make eye contact, it's going to be like a monsoon. I was like, I'm going to need you to stop talking right now because I know that's not what you're trying to say, but what you're saying is something that you shouldn't be saying.
Yeah, it's sounding like she's, I'm not going
to
say it out loud.
We're all adults unless you're 7 and listening to this, and you shouldn't be listening to this, first of all. But if you're our friends, you know what we're thinking, and that's not right.
Mama.
So exactly. So look. Clarissa explains it all. Went for 3 years. It got cut off because she was basically just getting too old. It wasn't canceled per se. They were just like, she's just too old for our age group. That's fine. So what I wanted to do to wrap up this bit was talk about some of the trivia things I read about this show, which were kind of cool. Crazy. Each episode took 70 hours to create. on average, 70 hours.
That is a long'un.
That's a long fucking time. It's just the person who has never worked in television broadcasting. So now, very fun. Sam's ladder was 3 rungs tall.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, because it's like,
of course,
because it's not going to be an actual like upstairs of a house. Yeah,
of course not. So when he was saying that whenever he would
do fake steps so many times.
Yes. Well, actually, so there were 3 rungs. And so when he while they were filming and he was waiting for his cue, he would just be laying on his back.
Oh my gosh.
Laying on his back, and he was just like, this is excruciating. And then he would get up and have to climb these 3 rungs, and he was like, it was just absolute hell on his knees, this poor guy. So there was just like this shitty little 2-bit ladder that they had to create specifically for him. Poor guy. Elvis the alligator basically disappeared after season 1 because there were a couple of different reasons that were rumored to be true, but one was being that there were pressures from animal rights activists, or they were like concerned there were going to be pressures about that, and so they went ahead and got rid of him. But then they were also saying that he was quote unquote boring to cut away to in this show, which is interesting to me. Melissa Joan Hart had her first on-screen kiss on this show with the one, the only, James Vanderbeek.
I was gonna say, I literally saw the name James Vanderbeek, and I was like, please tell me that's who it is.
It's him. And that was his first on-screen kiss, too. Look at that. They're bonded for life.
That was until season 5. So it was
wild. Did they have 5 seasons?
I don't know. It says, James Vanderbeek is Polly, a boy whom Clarissa attracts as her punk alter ego, Jade, in season 5.
Oh, maybe they did 2 seasons a year. Okay. I don't know. Interesting. And then finally, for no reason at all, they were just like, the director of the show was like, the color purple? Not on the set. Not in the show, not on the set. Just like it was just kind of like, we're just not, because he wanted to have pinks and he wanted to have blues, but he thought purples might be confusing. And he was like, you know what? No purples. And then it just became a thing. So if you go back and watch the show, there should be no purple on the show for whatever reason.
Confusing?
I guess because they were like, they want it to be a female-led show, but they also wanted it to appeal to boys. So they'd have pink, and I assume they would want pink, they would want blue. The purple,
I can't imagine the amount of just guys that like would have seen purple and been like, well, I guess
the shoe's off for me.
I guess I'm gay now. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I guess like I like that color, but like I don't think I can be a boy and like that color because it's kind of feminine.
And like Clarissa explains it all. I cannot do all these 3 things.
No.
The color purple is what did it for me. It was not the amazing acting. It was not the alligator. It was not Sam and the weird sexual tension that surely was. Like, can we talk about that for a minute? How are you going to have, hey, parents, are you cool having your daughter have a best friend who's a boy and she's 14 and he has a secret ladder that he just goes up to her bedroom in and no one's ever around? And you're like, yeah, this is fine. It's the 90s.
It's fine.
Are you cool?
Is it cool if I just, like, bone down on your daughter all the time, or?
But, hey, but we're not boning down. We're making video games. We're programming because we're 14.
Uh-huh.
And we're playing
flood,
with her.
And
we're
the playing flood with her, is going to come.
The monsoon, and we're playing with her pet alligator, and that's not a euphemism at all.
I want to know if, like, this is going to sound really nerdy.
Go for it.
If somebody ever in existence made, like, fan fiction.
I don't know the creator of the show.
Clarissa and Sam.
I'm a little confused as to what I read because I just got home from traveling on like a whirlwind tour of seeing everyone's families. But I believe I read today that the director of the or the creator of the show made a book later that was like it's explained, or I don't know what the title of the book was, but I think at that point
explains it all.
He explains that Clarissa and Sam did date at some point, and I don't know if they go into it, and I hope that they don't, because that's just, you don't have
to.
Are you
talking about in
that.
The show or about the actual people?
The book.
Clarissa, okay.
I think it was a fictional continuation of the story, but she's 26 now or something like that. Okay. I don't know. But regardless of whatever the creator of the show did, regardless of whatever fan fiction there is on the internet, you and I can create our own right here and right now.
Yes.
And I'm going to say they went on to become the earliest stages of like Topanga And I can't think of, was it Ben, what's his face, his character, Topanga, and who cares?
Ben Savage.
But what was his character's name in Boy Meets World? Corey and Topanga. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So they're the OG Corey and Topanga. And they went on to be high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
And then just went on forever. And they probably had a baby, but they just didn't know it yet. They were just cute.
Didn't know it yet.
So that's how that goes for me. So you know what? All right. There's Clarissa Explains It All. I would say revisiting the show is like revisiting an aunt that you don't visit very often. And you see her, you're like, you're still here, huh? And then...
It's a really jarring experience. Like, I think it is with this one in particular. Like, because I did watch a couple episodes. Because, like, there's been different times, like, doing this show, 90s Court, like, that I've had, like, Nick hits or whatever. Like, I got rid of it. Like, I didn't really want to watch it. But, like, when I had it, like, I was watching, like, I watched some Clarissa episodes. And it's just, it's a jarring experience, like just seeing these people as children now. Like, just being like, oh, these are children. Like, it was such a different experience and, like, taking like, wow, like Clarissa is really cool. Like that was like, you know what I mean? Like from a more like serious perspective, like thinking, wow, she's a really cool and awesome and hip chick or whatever.
Yeah.
And Sam's a badass. And now looking at Sam and I'm like, your fucking hair, dude. My man, your hair. Like I don't know what is going on with the hair or your outfits or whatever. Like, you know,
but
whenever
it's come full circle though, Andy, when it comes to fashion. So like rewatching a couple episodes of Clarissa Explains It All, I was like, Clarissa, your shit's on point. Like your giant checkered suspender pants, like they're all right. And
oh no, like Clarissa, like her, I was talking about his hair, but no, Clarissa, like she had a very unique, like it was one of those things where like clearly she was trying to be a standout person and everything like that and have like clever style. Like Sam though, God damn Sam, like just like your show, like so much denim, like just it's a
so
nightmare.
Much denim.
Yeah.
So that's the end of my court case. Clarissa awesome. Explains It All versus The Secret World of Alex Mack. You vote, we provide, and that's our show.
That's the end of that sentence.
That's the end of that.
And that's the end of the sentence that I had.
I'm so tired.
Okay. So no, awesome. But yeah, thanks everybody again for checking in. I did want to give a couple shout outs because as everybody knows, we do have a Patreon now. And we did have a couple new bailiffs, so that is at the $5
Cheers.
Or more level. So we did want to, we've already given shout-outs to some other folks, but we wanted to give shout-outs to our newest bailiffs. My good friend, Tim Olson, who is down in Florida now, he is a rock star. Thank you. You have now been granted the privilege to adjourn court to reel in the suspects. I don't think that's how bailiffs work, but tell us to all rise.
All right.
And Lisa's dear friend.
My friend, Clarissa. How fun. What
Clarissa.
A fun Clarissa who is explaining. I'm sure
Clarissa
expects
Clarissa
it all.
Sandoval.
She's so tired of hearing the Clarissa Explains It All refs thrown at her all the time. But you know what? Clarissa is a great name. Clarissa is a great person.
This is a curious question. Is Clarissa, how old was Clarissa when this show came out probably?
I think she's a little older than me. So she would have been... I think she's a couple years older than me.
Okay. So she definitely got it all the time. School.
Yeah,
that has to be
terrible. Definitely.
So
yeah.
Clarissa, we are glad now that you can now rule in on these cases as our illustrious bailiff.
She's so funny. I love that woman so much. She's
you all,
the best.
And to our other bailiffs and everyone, thank you guys so much. As we mentioned, we are going to be having our next Y2 court episode. We do have some content for that, and we're looking forward to that very much.
It's going
to
be so
I suggested
good.
It to Lisa, and I like, because the thing is, Lisa, like, finding a good court case sometimes is not always easy between the two of us because we had different experiences. And so when I said this one, and Lisa's like, fuck yes, I was like, finally, something we can both do.
Yeah.
So you want to take us out with the, or do you have the thing up?
I can make it up as we go.
Okay,
check it
good.
Out. We got Facebook, Twitter, 90s Court, Instagram, 90s.court. We got Patreon, patreon.com/90s court.
Boom.
Look that up. Support the show. We would love it if you did because we have some amazing Y2 Court episodes
Hell
coming
yes.
and we would love it if you could come and join us on this amazing journey that we're taking on Patreon. Please like, subscribe, rate, review. Anything you can do to support our show to give us higher ratings would be fantastic. And if you would, please give a listen to the other podcast that we bumped earlier during the break. That would be awesome for them as well.
Hell yeah.
We love you so much. This is our show. Did I forget anything? Did I do the things?
No, I did want to say, so just in case you guys are wondering how to review us, to leave us like some nice words, as we've always mentioned, Apple Podcasts is a dope place to leave us some our 5-star rating and review. Reviews are super awesome. Also Stitcher, again, we've got a couple reviews on Stitcher. Anybody else who would like to or knows how to, because I still don't know how to leave a review on Stitcher.
Are you smarter than us? Do it for us.
You're
please.
Smarter than us. Do it. And lastly, Podchaser, which is a rad place. Like, I haven't mentioned them in a while. It's a super cool thing. Like, Podchaser, on Twitter, they're super awesome. They collaborate with all the podcasts and stuff. It's a really awesome place for indie podcasts, especially like us, to get out there and get our names out there, because Podchaser is pretty new. It's a website. You can check out that. It's kind of like the IMDb of podcasts. You can look up podcasts any way you want. And you can also leave 5-star rating and reviews and stuff like that. So, Lisa, did you have any closing remarks before we depart?
I do not. I'm just excited for Y2 Court.
Na, 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 na.
Na, na, na.
Na, 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 na. Way cool.
So cool.
We'll catch you all next week.
Bum, bum, bum.
Peace out, Girl Scouts. Ooh. And boys.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Good night, everyone. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
All right. Love you all.
Bye.
Stay radical.